Blog Talk Radio.
I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you. My hands in total adoration unto you. You reign on the throne, for you are God and God alone.
Because of you,
my cloud days
are gone.
I'm so grateful, Lord.
God bless you, everyone. God bless you, and welcome to another broadcast of God's Word to Man. It's a live broadcast. For those of you who are joining us that was on earlier with us, we thank God that you decided to come back for round two. But this broadcast is going to be a little different in that I am going to allow callers to call in and voice their opinion, ask questions, and even give their prayer requests. Tonight is open line night, Monday nights. I'm sorry I haven't been on the last few Mondays, but, you know, I was kind of giving the brothers an opportunity to, you know, come forth with what God had given them on the broadcast. But now I'm back. I'm back on Monday nights, live broadcast with the brothers, open line discussion. And tonight we have a good one. Tonight, our topic tonight is mass shootings. You know, we have had quite a few recent mass shootings happen in our country. Some reported on the news, and some that were not reported that we didn't know about. They didn't let us know about, but we found out anyway about them. So that's the topic tonight, mass shootings. Is God allowing the killing? That's the question that I'm posing tonight. Is God allowing the killing? Well, what do I mean by that? Has God turned his back on us, on our nation, on his people? That's the question we're going to answer tonight, or we're going to attempt to answer tonight with the discussion among the brethren. I'm Brother Manny, and of course, I'm never alone on this open line discussion. The brothers always join me, and we have a brother join us as we speak right now. I'd like to welcome on Reverend Joseph Murphy. How are you today, Rev?
I'm doing blessed, my brother. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it. Always a joy to be on with you.
Amen. Amen. We are, I know this is going to be sort of a touchy subject, and I want to let the people, know that the question is often posed by, individuals. Is this God's fault? Why is God allowing these things to happen? And I just kind of want to provide some insight, or let the brothers provide insight into this situation as it has become sort of rampant in our communities across the country here. We've had, in the last 48 hours, we've had four mass shootings, two of them, that have been, at the forefront of the media, and two that have not. So I just wanted to address this issue from a pastor's point of view and to see if we could provide some content, some information regarding it. And so we're going to go ahead and get started. I want to ask you, Rev, you mind opening us up in prayer?
Yes, eternal Heavenly Father, we humbly come before your throne of grace, God, thanking you and praising you for another opportunity, God, just to talk about your word and what's going on in society today, Father God, and how it relates to your word. And Father God, we pray, as always, that your presence would be on this line, Father God, that you would speak through us, Father God, that it would simply not be our opinions or what we think, Father God, but we would say what your word says, Father God, that you might get the glory through it all, Heavenly Father. And so, God, we thank you for Brother Manny. We pray your blessings upon him and his family, God, that they would see fit, God, that he sees fit, God, to have such a forum, God, that your people would be informed, God, and informed by your word. And so, God, we just thank you. We praise you. We give you all glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Rev, for some, this is quite a touchy subject. So I just want to start by saying, listen, our prayers and our support go out to all the families affected by these mass shootings. If you lost someone, a loved one, a friend, a coworker, a family member, someone you're just acquainted with because of these mass shootings, or even if you have someone that's currently still in the hospital, maybe fighting for their lives or fighting an injury due to this tragedy, this terrorist act, I just want to say that we are God's word to man. We are in full support of you, and our prayers are with you and your family, and we pray that God's will be done in your life. So I just want to say that because, you know, we are concerned and we do care. You know, I know a lot of people, they get on the radio and television and they talk about these issues and they haven't been affected by it in any way. But I just want to let you know that we, at God's Word to Man, we do care and we love you and you are in our prayers. So, Rev, I just want to give you an opening statement, if you want to just, you know, address that just from a position of leadership, you know, being a pastor of a church, you know, just there are a lot of people out there hurting that have been affected by these tragedies. I just want to give you an opportunity to first kind of address it in whatever way you want to before we start, you know, giving feedback and insight into these some of these questions.
Well, certainly we, as you said, our prayers go out to every family that's affected. Our prayers actually go out as well to the perpetrators who did these ungodly, unspeakable acts. Certainly they're in need of prayer. Their families are in need of prayer. And most definitely the victims and their families are in need of prayer. So we certainly want to keep them in prayer. As it relates to just more of speaking about what God allows or doesn't allow, we know that there's nothing that does not happen that God does not know about in advance and certainly would know and certainly knows about it as it's happening. And so in the greater scheme of things, does God allow it? He does allow it. Does God desire it? He does not desire it. And we know that because sin is in the world, then these types of things shall happen. What I find interesting at times is with the church, not people in the world, but that with people who are in church and who should know Scripture, that they seem shocked by these events, when the truth of the matter is God loves us so much that he has warned us in his word that these types of events and more and worse not only have taken place, will take place, are taking place, but the people of God must prepare themselves to speak to it, to intervene to the level of their ability, meaning through prayer and just telling people about God and the times we're living in. And so it really does behoove the church to be in its rightful place so that we can speak to these atrocities. And the truth of the matter is, we haven't seen anything yet. It's going to get worse than this. And if Jesus tarries, we're in for some things that are going to be much worse than this. And so God does see. He does know. He has allowed it. But that doesn't make him a horrible or terrible God. He does not desire it. And if he didn't love us, he wouldn't have warned us about it in his word. So the people of God, we must get rid of the distractions that are going on in our lives so that we can hear from God. And I'll add this too, as the Holy Spirit is just saying it to me even now, so that we can make sure we hear from God so that we don't end up in some of these places where some of these atrocities will take place. And so that's kind of my opening statement.
Amen. Amen. I want to touch on first the response of I don't want to say Christian community, but the church or individuals of faith, Christ followers, whether you're Baptist, Pentecostal, whatever your denomination. I don't know that I've seen the response from the church like we should be seeing it. And what I mean by that is that I'm not talking about individuals coming out and condemning the shooter, you know, for the act. And that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not saying whether the shooter is wrong or right. We all know that the shooter is wrong for what he has done. However, I don't see the response from the church again, and something that has happened that is so tragic that has affected us in such a way. I don't see the big time, you know, evangelists and pastors and teachers really coming out and reacting the way maybe they should. I mean, just embracing people, showing the love of Christ, and doing all they can to help with some of the raw emotions and the hurt and the pain that people are dealing with these tragedies. And, you know, I've seen a few quotes here and there from certain pastors. I'm not going to name their names, but I just feel like it's, for the most part, a tweetable moment for some of them. I really don't see them addressing it the way it could be addressed. I mean, these are individuals who they are losing their life. These types of things could happen at any time. And I feel like, Rev, and I don't know, maybe you can comment on this part. It's to me, it's the wrong type of wake-up call. But nonetheless, it's a wake-up call to say we should be doing our best to warn as many people and to witness to as many people about Jesus as we can before it's too late. When we have these opportunities, we have all these resources and the capabilities that we have today, we are not fully, I don't think, using it to the best of our ability. You know, I know their shows, their Praise the Lord shows and TBN and CBN and all these networks that bring on Christian television. But I'm just saying, you know, this is an opportunity to really show in full force the true love of Christ to the masses, even in this time. So what would you say about the response of the church world as it pertains to this particular tragedy, Rev?
Well, I think that we have to be careful when we say that we don't necessarily see a response. Sometimes, let me back up and say, I definitely would say that the church as a whole could be doing better and could be doing more. But to maybe imply that no one's doing anything may not necessarily be accurate either. But I will say this. As I alluded to in my opening statement, the people of God, we're supposed to have an opening ear to hear from God. And one of the ways we hear from God is through his word. Well, in his word, in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24, it tells us about the love of man waxing cold. And so I don't know as a Christian, and more specifically as a Christian preacher, I don't know how else to kind of define the love of man waxing cold other than to understand that it's going to be all kind of travesties taking place in the world because there is a lack of love for one another. In fact, there's a lack of love in most cases for the individuals, for their own selves. And so if they don't love themselves and if they don't have hope for themselves, then of course they're not going to love anybody else and they're not going to care about the life of anyone else. And this is where the church must continue, or if they're not doing it, they must insert themselves and begin to tell this world, if there has never been more of an evangelistic moment, it is right now. And the church needs to be out of the comfort of the four walls of the church. And I thank God for the vision God has given me for the Caring Church in Memphis. And that's just what we're about. And you have to get outside the four walls of the church, and you have to tell people, like, you know, listen, we live in a world that's lost the ability to love thy neighbor. And as a result, and especially when you have a president who is being divisive racially, really giving courage to once what was closet racist, who now feel emboldened to just come out and let their racism be known in the fashion of some of these mass shootings. And so I was talking about a scripture to someone yesterday at church, and I think it's important for me to bring that scripture up now. It's in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. And it says that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, I will heal their land. Now, what's noteworthy about that text is that Jesus, as God is talking to them in that scripture, he's telling them, listen, I am grateful that you have built the temple, and I am grateful that you guys have dedicated this temple unto me, but there is a famine, there's a catastrophe that's about to come upon the land, but when it does, I will step in, and I will fight for you and on your behalf, and I will stop the pestilence, but these are the things that you have to do. And now notice, he didn't say he will heal the land. He said if they were to seek his face, humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways. Now he's talking to the church. He's talking to the people of God. And he's telling them if they would just humble themselves, he said, then will I hear from heaven and I will heal their land. So he's not going to stop what's going on. So the church might as well not start praying, God, you know, stop all this killing, because guess what? That's what has to happen before the end of this is a precursor to the end of the world. Now, can we pray and ask God for mercy? We can and we should. But even more than praying and asking for mercy, we simply need to witness to people and let them know. Listen, it's time to get your soul right with Jesus, because let me take it one step further. Just because we're Christians does not make us immune to these tragedies. It doesn't mean we won't be involved in it. It doesn't mean that death can't visit us. in this manner. And so, but the difference is, should I perish from this world, my soul goes on to be with Christ. So every pastor worth his or her salt should literally be in a mode of evangelism at this moment. I mean, chomping at the bit to get out here and warn people and tell them, listen, the kingdom of God is at hand. The devil is doing all that he can to get as many as he can. And then, so therefore, we must do all we can do. But unfortunately, we're facing fighting each other in Christendom. We got denominations against denominations. We got pastors against pastors. So we got to straighten that out, and then we got to get out. So we got to straighten out the foolishness that exists among Christians, and then we got to get out here in the world and be the church and warn people and let them know, listen, the devil is on a rampage, but guess what? We serve a God who's stronger than the devil and who can overcome his power, and you need to know this God. And the only way to this God is through his son, Jesus the Christ.
Amen. Amen. You're right. You're right. Absolutely 100% right. I was saying this earlier, and I made a post on my own personal Facebook page this morning, and I said, you know, you owe it to yourself to read through this, you know, and I gave scripture behind what I was saying, but, we're at a critical time, you know.
Yeah.
And I said something to one of my coworkers one day. They were saying something that was quite blasphemous, I should say, around in our group. And it offended me. And I said, listen, you guys can say whatever you want to say, but when it comes to my faith, my belief in God and his son, Jesus Christ, we won't have this. We won't have conversations like this. And I had to take that stand. And I told one of the girls, she said, you know, she said, Manny, I'm sorry. You know, I thought something was, you know, wrong with what was said too, but, and that's why I didn't comment. I said, you know, her name is Annie. I said, you know, Annie, whether you believe that I am the appropriate representation of the invisible and visible God, that's neither here nor there. He still exists. He's still all powerful, and I serve him, and I won't be a part of a conversation that's blasphemous. And so she said, you know, I understand, no problem. But that got me to thinking, and these mass shootings got me to, it really opened my eyes and said, am I doing all I can with all that is within me to preach the gospel of the good news of the kingdom? He says, the kingdom of God is here. It's at hand. It's available. I like saying it's available because some people don't know what's available to them. You know, even though it's written right there and it's in plain English, a lot of people don't read the Bible, but some people need to know that salvation is available to you. Heaven yeah. is available to you. So now with all these things happening, you see the different conversation and the rhetoric is not necessarily about the love of Christ. It's not necessarily about, hey, you need to be saved because you never know when this could happen. It could happen anywhere at any time because Satan is a real devil. Satan is a real devil. And sin is sin. And you could be out like those people at Walmart. You could just be at Walmart one day and it just break loose.
Amen.
You know, you could be out at a restaurant and somebody who got fired from a restaurant, they feel emboldened by all the activity and the recent events that has happened, and they just say, you know what? I'm going back to that restaurant. You know? And one thing you said, Rev, I'm telling you, is 100% on the money. It may affect you or me or somebody else we know. But if your heart is right and your life is hid in him, you don't have nothing to worry about. You know? And so I took it as an opportunity this morning to make that post, and I thought we should talk about it today. Now, the next thing I really want to touch on is the political nature, and you made reference to it about the president, but the political nature of what's been going on and how this ties in to the message from the church. Should we really, drizzle a little bit of that white supremacist, you know, our president is provoking and he's race baiting and he's saying all these things to get reelected. Should we involve politics even in our message as it pertains to reaching out to the people about Christ?
I believe this. I believe that the Bible is clear when it says that my people are lost for lack of knowledge. They perish for lack of knowledge. And a lot of times, pastors will quote that scripture to kind of get their members to come to Bible study or come to Sunday school. And you need to learn because you're lost. But when you read that text, God was upset with the priests because the priests were not teaching the people what they needed to know. And so what I'm saying is that whatever means is necessary to get the people most informed, whether it includes what's going on in politics, which I don't think, I absolutely believe that should be a part of it. We need to keep our eyes on Jerusalem. The Bible said that the Jewish people, that the Hebrews are his people. And so no matter how disobedient or disbelief they may have been, God's going to deal with them on their disbelief. But they're still his chosen people. And he said he will bless them that bless them and curse them that curse them. And so when you hear members of the Congress or the Senate talking against the Jewish people, you better understand that we're living in the last days. So yes, we do need to talk about all that is going on political. Before we go to the polls, we need to inform ourselves of the candidates that we speak of. A lot of people don't want to talk about President Obama in a negative light. He did do some great, wonderful things as the President of the United States, but he also signed in some very immoral laws into law. So there are some very immoral things that he did wrong. There's some things that President Trump, we may not want to admit that he has done that were biblical. And so when he made Jerusalem the capital of Israel, that's all biblical. And so I'm not necessarily saying that I'm pro-Trump, but what I am telling this audience is that what the men and women of God better be doing is understanding the climate politically and understanding what's going on in the world and how to identify that with what's in Scripture so that we can not be ignorant as God wants us not to be, and so that we can rightly divide the Scripture so that the people can be empowered and understand how serious we are to the end times. And that's what I'm saying. And so as a man, a woman of God who's been given the charge to preach and teach God's word, yes, we need to have every avenue of information available to us, and not any guessing, but we should have factual information so that we can let people know, listen, this is how you can tell that this is not a situation you may want to be in, or this is not a place you want to go and visit, or this is how you get in a place where you can hear God's voice so God can lead you and guide you around certain dangers seen and unseen. And so that's the kind of climate that should be existing in every church around the world. And that's the kind of conversations every pastor, minister, preacher, teacher should be having with the people and shouting and praising God. All of that is well and fine. Singing, all of that is well and fine. But we need to tie in the Word of God at the level of where we're at in the world today. And let me say this too, for anybody who may be listening as well. The people of God cannot afford to be distracted by the cares of life, by the things that hurt our heart. You know, trials will come and go, but they don't last always. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And we better understand that distractions come to do just that. Take our focus off of what God wants us to do and to hear God's voice. And so I hope that answers your question, my brother.
Amen. Amen. I hope it does for some of the people out there that are listening, that are being told that they're too political. And then some may be hearing that they're not political enough. You know, there's a lot of good, well-meaning Christians out there who are fighting the good fight against, you know, racism, against bigotry in their neighborhoods and their communities, but at the same time maintaining their sanctified, you know, nature and keeping Jesus at the forefront of all that they do. So I'm in total agreement. I think there's definitely a space for, you know, both ideas.
Amen.
You know, so my next question, Rev, involves what we were talking about, how some people are angry. They're angry at the government. Yes, we talked about that. And they're angry that maybe there's not enough community leaders, you know, people in the community to speak to about what's happening. You know, so they're angry. Maybe it's some people in the community, you know. Some people are angry at God, though. You know, you hear this a lot. How could God allow this to happen? A God that's so loving, a God that say he cares about us and he loves us. How could he let this happen? How could he let my sister, my brother, my uncle, my husband, my wife, my child get shot and killed by this evil person? And this person lives. Why does this person get to live and my relative, my loved one, they're gone? Before you answer that, Rev, I want to welcome on. God bless you, Brother Tom. How are you? Hello?
Yeah, I'm doing well, dear brother. How are you guys tonight? Praise God.
Hey, how you doing, Brother Tom? God bless you.
I'm good.
God bless you,
brother
Tom. Yes. And so, as I was saying, Brother Tom, we have people out here who are they're upset with God. And so that's why I posed the question, has God turned his back on us? Has God allowed all this to happen? And Rev, you referenced a little bit early in your opening comment, but I want to allow you the opportunity to elaborate, and then we'll go on over to Brother Tom. Go ahead, Rev.
So, you know, it's always easier when you're going through something to blame somebody else when you don't fully understand. And so I always share this with people, and I hope I'm not coming off callous or cavalier, but what I've learned as I mature in God is, first and foremost, God is a sovereign God. He can do whatever he chooses to do. But what I also have learned is to study his word so that I can understand God to the extent that I can understand him, right? We'll never completely understand God, and we'll drive ourselves nuts doing it. But God said in his word that all things work together for the good for them who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And so let's take my mom's passing as an example, if I can go there. In my flesh, I would love for my mom to still be here. I just would. I absolutely 100% would. But that's me being selfish. And the reason it's me being selfish is because I don't fully understand or know to what extent my mom might have been suffering. But because God is an all-wise God, he knows. And because he is a merciful God, he extends mercy and grace even when we don't understand it. And because some of us, and I'm counted among those, you know, I was counted among those who really didn't understand what death really is for the Christian. I used to be, and now I clearly understand what it is for the Christian. And when Paul talks about absent from the body, present with the Lord, not even being fit to be compared, then I have to come to the conclusion, while yes, I would love for my mother to still be here, my mom is in a much better place, in a much better situation, that you can't even compare it. So yes, while in my flesh, I would love for her to still be here, but would I really still want her to be here if the cost of her being here is her suffering? Then that means I'm really being selfish. And so when we learn how to then get in a quiet place and understand the will of God through studying his word and through talking to him, then we will learn not to blame God for the travesties that are in this world. Just because he allows them, he does not desire them. Let me say it a different way. We say that he does not understand. Well, if God is all-knowing, it's impossible for him not to understand. But I'll take it a step further, beyond him being all-knowing. His son, Jesus, whom he freely gave as a sacrifice to die for our sins, we got to keep this in mind. Jesus, God gave us Jesus, and Jesus did not die for anything he did. He died for what we did and what we are doing and what we will do. And so if anybody has the right to be upset about death and someone not deserving to die, that would be God. But since it was God's plan in the first place to send his son to make an atonement for us, then God understands what it's like to mourn. And he loves us so much that he will take our loved ones, who, especially those who know him, he will take them and bring them into a place where there's no more sickness, no more death, no more sorrow, grant them their rewards according to their service here on earth. And then he loves us even so much that if we allow it, he'll grant us peace about it. And he'll comfort us through it all. And so when we start looking at this thing from the right perspective, God is not a cruel God. He's not a big kid with a magnifying glass, and we're a bunch of ants, and he's using the sun to burn off our feelers. That's not God. No, God is the same entity who loved us so much and wanted us to be redeemed back to him so much that he gave himself in the form of Jesus Christ, was tested and tried on all sides, and yet remained blameless. And when his son hung on a cross and became sin, not because of anything he did, even his own father turned away from it. And so we better be careful some of the things that we allow to come out of our mouths as it relates to blaming God for what's going on or saying he doesn't care, because if God did not care, listen, God is restraining the devil. Even in this foolishness, he is still being restrained. You better know that, because if he wasn't being restrained, it would be far worse than it is now. God bless.
Amen, Rev. Amen. I appreciate that. Brother Tom, I know you just got on, but I'm about to hit you with this is going to be a hard one, and I want you to brace yourself, Brother Tom, but I know you're up for the challenge, okay? Now, Rev just talked about how God gave his only son to take upon himself sin and die for our sin. So some would beg and ask the question, okay, I get it. I get the wages of sin is death. I get that sin is in the world, and that's why a lot of things happen. But why is God allowing these mass shootings to happen to children? Children who are without sin. They've never done anything. They don't even barely know right from wrong. How could God allow children to get killed? My baby. There was a woman my aunt was telling me there was a mass shooting in Chicago that they're not publicizing, they're not broadcasting, and giving the same coverage as the Dayton situation or the one in El Paso. There was also one in a couple, actually two in Mississippi, mass shootings that weren't as severe, but there was still loss of life. And they're not really publicizing it as much. And so you have a lot of born-again believers who are saying, hey, this is God's wrath. This is God's wrath, and this is the outcome for what they have done here in this country. The sin is bringing on what's happening. And so then you have these mothers and these parents, these fathers say, how can he let my baby get killed? To that, what would you say, Brother Tom?
Let me be clear first of all, a person in that situation, in the moment that they're in that situation, could not ever listen to what I'm about to say. Because what I'm about to say defies what you feel in that moment. It defies the hurt. It defies the need to have an answer and all of that. And the reality is about God is that God does not allow this. Now, what do you mean, Brother Tom, when you say God allows? See, we got to be careful. See, because when we say God allows, even though we got to be careful, because even though we by saying God allows it, we take God out of being responsible for it. We also leave an openness for God to be in some ways accountable because he didn't intervene. Right? Whatever,
right.
I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the answer that, from my perspective. God does not interrupt the will of man. If somebody decides they're going to go shoot up an area and they're going to go shoot up. See, that's why I'm when I study the word, I try to be careful and stay away from historical statements and things that we say in the church that are slogans, because God does not interrupt the will of man. If a man decides to do that, God is not going to get in the way. Now, while God does not interrupt the will of man, if God can get a hold of a man's heart, if a man would give God his heart, then a man will change it. In other words, if I'm a sinner and I like to do, I'm a murderer, okay, and I give God my heart, my will to murder will change because I've given God my heart and I want to please him. You understand what I'm saying? So I think we have to be careful when we talk about what God allows in this particular instance. And that answer may not be politically correct, and I could sit down in Scripture and with theologians and other Bible studiers and go through Scripture and talk about it. I don't believe in debate because the Word told us not to debate Scripture, so I don't debate it. But a discussion and debate are two different things, and I could discuss it, but you got to understand, what does the word of God tell us in the book of Proverbs? Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a what? Is a reproach to any people. The more this nation puts God out and the more this nation forgets about God, the more we're going to see these types of things happen. The more we lose the fear of the Lord, the more we back up from him as a nation, the more we stop training our children up in the ways of the Lord, the more we're going to see things like this happen. Because if God is not present in someone's life, Satan is. For the scripture tells us that no man can serve two masters. Jesus told us that. Is that right? And so
right. You
can only have one or the other. He's going to choose one or the other. And if you are walking in the power of darkness, then you will do anything that he does. He tells us in the scripture, John 10:10, the thief come not but to steal, kill, and destroy. And it is the will of some of these men and women who do these heinous crimes. And it has absolutely nothing to do with God. It's the will of Satan, and they do it, and they're led of him. Now, the innocent bystanders, unfortunately, it happens, but we cannot leave an ounce on God by saying God allowed it. It is the will of man.
Amen. Amen.
So,
Rev, you want to piggyback on that?
So real quick. I don't want to piggyback on it because some of it I don't agree with, and I'm going to explain why. And then I'm going to hop off the call. I'm going to let Brother Tom come back, then I got to hop off the call, get on this conference call. So to say that God does not interrupt the will of man, I disagree because I'm here today because God interrupted the will of man. There was a young man who I did absolutely nothing to who wanted to fight me. And he went back to his neighborhood and got two other guys and also came back with a satchel. And in his satchel, I could see the print of a gun. He had a gun. And his full intention was to not only jump on me and beat me up, but it was to shoot me. There was another situation I found myself in back in the mid to late 90s in Memphis, where I was looking at a gun in another situation. And so I firmly believe in both of those situations, God intervened to what the will of man was, and not necessarily directly the will of man, because it was the will of Satan. The will of Satan was to stop Moses from being who God called him to be. The will of Satan was to stop Jesus from being the Savior of the world, and he used man. And in all of those instances, and including the instance for me on both occasions,
I hate to interrupt, but God didn't interrupt me.
I let you finish, Brother Tom. Let me finish, please.
Yep.
So, in both of those situations, God intervened on my behalf. Now, the will of man, under the influence of the will of Satan, was to take my life. But God intervened. And God intervenes even now because, listen, the devil does not have free reign on this work and on this earth. I do agree with you, though, that there's a lot of what's happening today has everything to do with the disobedience. We've taken God out of everything, out of government, out of school. Some would argue that some churches have taken God out of church. And so, yes, you deal with the repercussions of becoming a Sodom and Gomorrah times 10, and that's what this world is not becoming, it is. And the wages of sin is death. But make no mistake about it, there's nothing that's happening that God could not stop if he desired to stop it, and there's nothing that happens that he does not allow. If Satan had to get permission to attack Job, and he did have to get permission, God allowed everything that happened to Job to happen to him. Now, does that make God a bad God? It does not. God is a sovereign God, and he can allow what he chooses to allow, but at the end of the day, it's all tied into his will for his people. And what the church needs to do is we need to get out here and evangelize and start letting people know that, listen, God, Jesus is quickly on his way back. And we need to be living in a way and understanding in a way so that we can sense and know what's going on. But to suggest that God cannot or would not intervene in the will of man, does he do it always? He does not. Does he do it, period? Does he do it sometimes? He does, and he did it in my life. Go ahead, Brother Tom.
Well, thank you for the time and respectfully just agreeing. you know, I stand my ground on it because the Word of God tells us, and the words of Jesus said, these are the words of Jesus. He said, God is not willing that all should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, see, that's that. Let's take that statement. These are the words of Jesus, not the words of Tom. That's in the Bible. He said, God is not willing that all should perish, but that all should come to repentance, right? So it is not the will of God that we die. It's the will of God that we all come to repentance. What does that mean? It's the will of God that man would make a decision. God doesn't force our decision. It's the will of God that man would make a decision. We have to choose God. We have to choose to turn the right, wrong way or the wrong. Does God sometimes help us to escape situations? Yes. Does God sometimes shield us? Yes. But when somebody makes a decision to do something that is evil in their heart, that's their decision. They made that choice to do that in their heart. And God has to, they have to choose God and give God their heart so that their will can change. Because God isn't willing for them to kill and murder children and innocent people. So it, I'm careful with the statement because we put so much cliches historically by saying things, but we can't find, I can back up my statement with scripture, but we'd be on the phone all night. But the reality is that God has a will for all of our lives. And when people make these decisions that are led by Satan, they're led by Satan and they make these decisions in their heart, they make their choices and they give over to the power of darkness. And when they do that and they put God out and they go that far, they've made a decision. And unfortunately, based on their decision when it comes to these guns and when it comes to people in the streets, you know, hey, unfortunately, innocent bystanders become victim from somebody who makes a bad decision and a bad choice based on their evil will and the power of darkness. Now, God can free somebody from the power of darkness. He can change somebody's mind from the power of darkness, but that person has to make the first step. They have to decide in their heart that they're not going to hurt you in your incident. They have to decide, and they have to have a conscience in their mind that will disrupt their will to do the wrong thing. They have to first make the first step. God, listen, even when he made Adam and he set Adam in the garden, think about this. From the beginning, he gave man a will. He set Adam in the garden, and all he told him not to eat of a certain tree. Adam made a decision, and Eve made a decision to eat of that tree. We can ask and beckon the question, why didn't God intervene? He gave them instructions, just like he's giving us instructions today. But Adam, instead of checking that thing when Eve brought it to him, made a decision despite what he knew about God and despite what he heard, he gave in to the power of darkness. See, a person has to give in to that power and Satan in order for it to happen. The same thing, a person has to make a conscious decision in order for God to intervene. God is not going to intervene except a person first decide in their heart that they want God to intervene, that their consciousness gets pricked in their heart to repent or change their thought or way. That's Bible all the way.
Watch it now, because nobody gets saved unless they are wooed by the Holy Spirit. You don't make a decision on your own. The Holy Spirit has to draw you. But let me address what you said real quick.
But doesn't the Holy Spirit draw several people who don't come?
Well, I'm gonna have to interrupt both of you because we don't have
the Holy Spirit
time
draws
left.
Many people who do not come. Brother Tom,
okay. I'm gonna have to cut the both of you off, and we're gonna have to continue the conversation next Monday because we don't have that much time. And so, I want to thank the both of you for joining us. Definitely, tune in next Monday night at 7 p.m. We'll continue this conversation about what God allows and what He doesn't allow. I'd like to thank you, Rev, for joining us, and Brother Tom, thank you for joining us
as well.
God bless you both.
Both
okay.
You
love you both.
God bless you.
Love you guys.
And so, folks, there you have it. And we have two different ministers, both, you know, ordained ministers, both definitely pastoring churches and preaching in different churches and have studied the Bible and, you know, and have learned, you know, the Bible. But they have two different viewpoints on this subject. This is why this is very highly, controversial. Some people believe God can intervene. Some people believe that he can't intervene. Some people believe that God allows things. Some believe that God doesn't allow things. I've heard preachers say, hey, you know, God is not in charge of this world and what's happening, that Satan is, and that God gave us dominion, and because we don't accept the responsibility of having dominion in this world, and we allow laws and different things to take place in this world, sin creeps in and intervenes and just has its way. And until the people wake up, until the people of God wake up and take back the dominion, these types of things are going to continue to happen. And God has to allow it because his word says that the wages of sin is death and that the gift of God is eternal life. So if we allow sin to continue to creep in, then death is right surely behind it. And there's nothing God can do about it because even he is subject to his word. So with that being said, I'd like to thank you for joining us. It's been great. Don't forget, tomorrow night we have Brother Nate coming back on. We'll have him on tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. And I believe we're going to start having the brothers come on during the day. You won't be able to call in or ask any questions, but there will be lessons, live lessons being taught during the day coming soon by some of the brothers. So I hope you enjoyed tonight as much as I have. I want to say thank you to everyone who joined us, Brother Tom, Rev Murphy. Hopefully next week we'll have a full house to where we can have multiple perspectives on this very subject. I'd like to thank anyone who wanted to call in that didn't, but you continue to listen. May God bless you and may God keep you and may God go with you. Continue to enjoy your night. We love you. Amen. My God is-